In chapter 6 of Romans, I'm in Romans, John, we have one of the first of the I am statements. I am the bread of life. That's what Jesus said. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And we talked about that as we were going through chapter 6. But I got to enjoying the thought of I am. And I want you to look at Exodus 3:14 to start with. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you that we're able to gather around your word. We ask your blessing upon it. May the Holy Spirit of God teach each of us, draw us close to yourself, give me freedom and ease to preach, and I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. When I first read the Bible, it struck me as really funny. I mean, strange, different. God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. Now Moses is out in the wilderness and he is seeking God. He went up to the mountain to talk to God, and God had a burning bush, but the bush wasn't really burning and didn't burn up. And he was told to take his shoes off. He was on holy ground. And God spoke to him, into his mind at least, his word. Let him know that he was going to use him to deliver Israel. He said, well, who are you, you know? What name do I go by? Who do I tell him send me? He said, I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me. Now, my thinking of it, that would be sort of embarrassing to me. I go back and get a crowd up and said, I am sent me. That doesn't sound funny to you. It sounds funny to me. I am sent me. And yet, when you look back over some of the scriptures, and especially in Genesis, it's very interesting how it comes out. You just take a concordance and check your I ams. Look at Genesis 15:1. After these things, Lot, see, before had moved to Sodom. And Sodom got attacked by some kings. Back in those days, sort of the mayor of the town was the king. And they didn't have as many big, big kings and kingdoms even as we have today, or like some of the great ones in the past. But like each ruler of a town was sort of a king. Well, four or five kings got together and they went against Lot and Sodom and the king of Sodom and whatever, and they carried him off captive. Well, somebody got away and they went to Abram and told him, said, Lot's been captured and they're gone. And you know, he makes an interesting statement. He had 318 trained soldiers. You got to be rich. He was a rich man. He's not a poor fellow. And he had some friends, and they evidently had soldiers too. And so they went together and they chased down these kings that had run over Lot and Sodom. And they whipped them, took care of them. And the king of Sodom told Abraham, said, why, Abraham, why? Take all the things to yourself. Just give me back my people. And Abraham wouldn't do it. He said to my guys that went with me, let them take what they want. But for me, I don't even want a shoelace. I don't want a shoelace. I don't want you thinking you made Abram rich. He said, God made him. Now that's where the after these things is. He had delivered Lot and the other people from Sodom. And when he offered him the spoils, Abraham refused. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Interesting. It is. And the thought that it brings to you. I didn't understand it. It took me a little while. I didn't catch this just right the first time I read it, because I was under a lot of stress in other ways the first time I read it. But at any rate, what's God saying? He's turned down riches. He could have been, no telling, Lot was bound to have been Sodom had to have been a prosperous community. And so he could have got a lot of money, a lot of things, a lot of goods, a lot of cattle maybe, whatever. But he refused it. And God is telling him, you didn't make the wrong choice. You made the right choice. Think about this. I am your shield. How about having God for your shield? Well, you do. You just need to learn to trust in it. What you have now with the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you, you've been born again, you're saved, you're on the road to heaven, God's got you in His hand, He's never going to let you out. He's your shield. Praise the Lord. And then He said, exceeding great reward. I'm going to give you a whole lot more than you would have got if you took what you got from Sodom and the victory that you had in the battles that you fought. Wow. Now, once you think about that, that just goes a long way. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Do you realize how blessed you are if you're saved? You ought to every day. We ought to. We ought to not spend a day that we haven't thanked God that we're a part of His family. We're His sons, His daughters, His children. And we're headed to fellowship with Him throughout all eternity. I miss Verlene. I really do. With her 62 years. And wow. All of a sudden, I miss my dad. I could go over and talk to my dad and talk to him about anything, and it was a pleasure because he was a wise man. I valued his judgments. Well, you know something? I'm going to be with Jesus forever. I'm going to be walking streets of gold, but the gold won't be really important. I'll be in a mansion, but the mansion won't really be important. What's going to be important is God is my exceeding great reward. What a reward. God chases you down, puts you in a squeeze, and gets you to call upon Him to get saved. He invites you into His house, and that's the reward. How do you get any better than that? The mansion's not that much. The goal's not that much. But God's presence, it's everything. It's everything. Beautiful thing. And it different things in here in Genesis, it just really got my attention. Thy exceeding great reward. Look at verse 7, Genesis 15:7. He said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. I am. There he is again. I am thy shield, thy exceeding great reward. I am the Lord that brought thee out of the Ur of the Chaldees. Look at Genesis 17:1. When Abram was 90 years old and 99. That's older than you, Johnny. 99. The Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. There are a lot of gods in this world. But there aren't any real gods. There are some devils that work behind statues and imitations and a lot of different things. But God Almighty, your shield, your exceeding great reward, and the Almighty God. I think the old boys in Athens were pretty smart when they put up that one statue to the unknown God. So Paul could say, I'm going to tell you about Him. The unknown God, He's God Almighty, the Almighty God. He's over all. There are no gods. God said, I've been looking around. I haven't found any other ones. I am. I'm the only one. And He's making the statement, I am the Almighty God. And that's just in Genesis. And in Genesis 26:24, we find Isaac. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. Hey, he saved you for Jesus' sake. He answers your prayers for Jesus' sake. You ever do anything for somebody else's sake? I bet you do. Well, I tell you what, God Almighty is being a blessing to you for Jesus' sake. Well, here he is. He's Isaac. Now, Isaac's not exactly the fighting man that Jacob or Abraham was. And he saw more of a man that wanted a steady life, a calm life. He didn't want to fight over different things. We got a problem. Why, I'll just give up my rights, whatever, and move on to another hole, dig another well. And yet, here it is. He's got in this passage of scripture. He said, I am with thee. I will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. How about God being with you? He's with you today. If you're saved, he's with you today. He never leaves you. Sometimes in the night when you're scared, when you're fearful of what may happen tomorrow, when the whole world's falling apart around you, what do you have? You have God with you. Here he is, and it's I am the God of Abraham. I am with thee, and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. Now look at Genesis 28. Verse 13. And behold, the Lord stood above it. That's a ladder. Now he had Jacob had a dream, a vision in the night, and there was a ladder into heaven, and angels were going up and down on this ladder, whatever. And he's out in the middle of in a wilderness, I guess. And he said, behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and I, the God of Isaac, and the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed. Now here's his promise that Jacob is going to carry with him as he goes into his relative's household and the family he's going to marry into. And he's going to be 20 years probably in this place. And he's with another guy that's just about as big a skinflint as he is. Amazing. But Jacob has this dream, and this dream stays with him. He's quoting this dream 20 years later when he's coming out and he's getting ready to meet his brother Esau. You told me, God. He took it to heart. I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, and the land whereon thou liest, and to thee I will give it into thy seed. They're still fighting over that land right now. Just look at the news. People are dying right now. There's clashes. They have these peace, little temporary peace. But that's been fought over year after year after year. Amazing. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed. Now look at verse 15. And behold, I am with thee. How about, I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. How about, I'm the God with you? That I am is a nice little phrase. I am. Behold, I'm with thee, will keep thee. Hey, have you got that? That's something to get. I'm in God's hand. Now, if you're a strong man, I've seen some men, you could not open that hand if they didn't want you to. Well, what about God? You think he's got any problems? I don't think he does. I believe he's got a very strong hand, and the only time it opens is when he wants to. He said to him, I'm with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. No matter what happens, it's this year, last year, my folks went through the First World War, the Depression, the Second World War in Korea and saw a man walk on the moon. They had an interesting lifestyle at the time. I will be thee with thee whither thou goest, and will bring thee again to this land. That promise was when he was sleeping in a land, that land that's supposed to be theirs right now. And God was telling him, I'm promising you this land. I'm going to keep you. Well, now, you're going into a rough country. You're going into a place where there's a skin flint about as tricky as you are. What do you have confidence in? How about a promise from God? Even if it come in a dream or a vision, how about a promise from God? I don't need dreams and visions. You know what I need? The Word of God. This is my authority. What it says, I believe. I accept it. That gives you a confidence. That gives you a comfort. There's so many things in life to disturb us. Sickness, pain, financial disasters, governments being run by idiots. A whole lot of things like this that you don't have anything you can do about it. But you know what you can do? You can trust in the Lord God. Others have gone through worse, and they come out of it. Come out of it better people. I honestly believe the sufferings of my parents during the early days and the Depression and all of that made them better people. They were better people because of what they'd suffered. They were better people because they had learned some lessons in life. So maybe some of the things you go through, God's got you going through it to make you a better person and to give you the blessings that you really want. But here he is. He's telling you, I am with thee. I will keep thee, and I will bring thee again into this land. He said, you're not going to lose out when you go down here. You're going to be there 20 years, but you're not going to lose out. Why not? I am with thee. Do you have that confidence? You ought to have that confidence. You're saved. You trusted the Word of God. You've got this Bible in your heart. You're wondering what I can do, what I can accomplish. Will I lose out of this or that other thing, something like that? How about just trusting that God is with you? That God will keep you. That's the promise he gave to Jacob. Look at verse 13, Genesis 31:13. Now this is later on down. This is 20 years later. Jacob is running now from his father-in-law. He doesn't know, but one of his wives has stolen his father-in-law's gods. What a mess. What a mess. You don't ever know the wife that you might have married. you better be careful because they might have a hidden agenda back in there worshiping those gods or wanting money. How about money? These are gold. Here in Genesis 31:13, I am the God of Bethel. Well, now wait a minute. Bethel's 20 years ago. Bethel is before you ever met up with these people, before you ever married either one of the girls. Now you got four wives and you got a bunch of people in your family. You got a big family and you're heading out and you're afraid of your father-in-law, what he's going to do to you. And you're afraid of meeting Esau, what he's going to do to you. How about a little comfort? I am the God of Bethel. Back in Bethel is where he saw this ladder going up from heaven and down. These beings doing this, traveling. And there's God up there at the top. What a vision. Now God comes and brings it back to him. He said, I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, where thou vowest a vow. Hey, God remembers your vows. You better watch what you say when you talk to God. I've seen people make promises they should not have made. They're doing something they can't fulfill. And God does not like you promising what you're not going to fulfill. Your word ought to be good. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, where thou vowed a vow. Now rise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. Now in Genesis 31, He gives him a command to go back to this land that God is going to give him. Now, when Jacob gets in Israel, Genesis 35:11, and God said unto him, I am, there it is again, I am what? God Almighty. Praise the Lord for the rain. You're out of it. You don't have to worry about it. I am God Almighty. Do you serve God Almighty? Yes. Yes. You serve God Almighty. There's not anything He can't do. You can't ask a prayer too big. I'm not saying He's going to answer every one of your prayers. He hadn't answered all of mine. But He's answered some of them, and they were big ones. I thank God for the answer to prayers that I've had over the years that I could see and knew He answered my prayer. I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. Wow. Let's pump old Jacob up a little bit. Let's have an encounter with him and change his name. Instead of Jacob, the supplanter, the heel catcher. Oh, no. Israel, a prince of God. Wow. I am God Almighty. Well, there's a bunch of I ams in Genesis, isn't there? Look at Genesis 46:3. He's got a problem here, and he doesn't know what to do about it. He's a little fearful. He said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. Now, I'm sure he did not know anything about the sufferings they were going to have, because they had a lot of sufferings and a lot of problems for hundreds of years. But they came out and they become a nation. Why are they a great nation? Are they the biggest one in the world? Are they the most richest of the world? They're a great nation because God placed Himself among them. They're a great nation because kings like David, Solomon came out of them. Praise to God came out of them. There were prophets that knew the signs of the times and the signs of where Christ would be born, and they had the promise of those things like that. That's why they're a great nation. They're a great nation because most of the people could read. Wanted to read because they wanted to read the Word of God. And all they had was what Moses gave them and a few prophets. What do we have? We have what Jesus said. Not only the old prophets bringing Him around, but here we have Him living and moving among us. And we've got these eyewitness testimonies of what He said and what He did. Praise God. It's a wonderful thing to be able to read. Be a pretty miserable thing not to do that. I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt. Now, if I'd have known what was going to happen, I would have feared. I think you would too. But He said, I will there make of you a great nation. And when they came out, I think Moses probably had a million or two people coming out of Egypt. They went down to 70 souls. And it was a mixed multitude of those that come out. They weren't all Israelites. They weren't all Jews. But He said, I am God, the God of your father. And He said, told him not to fear. Look at Exodus 3:6. Moreover, He said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Moses has already lived his life, been exiled, gone away from Egypt, from the great life that he had there and all the riches that he had there and the fame that he had there. And he's looking for God. He didn't have a lot of confidence in himself. He didn't know how he was going to deliver. You and I wouldn't have had what he had, probably. He wanted to see God. He wanted to know God. He wanted to speak to God. He wanted to get a message from God. And God gave him one. I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Moses hid his face. So Moses asked him, you want me to go into Egypt and deliver the people? I'm supposed to be the deliverer. Well, he said, who should I say sent me? What's your name? Well, he didn't say a lot of names that we think about. And this really threw me the first time I saw it, and a few times after. I am that I am. You want to know who I am? I am. You want to know? That's something about God you ought to recognize today. He is. I am. Everything else that's going to fade away, but I am. Not I will be, not I hope to be, not I used to be. I am. Every day. I don't think God thinks of time like you do. We're all so anxious. Little bitty baby. How old is that baby? 7 months. 7 months. That little girl there that's talking and quoting what she hears. How old is she? Oh, she's 3. How old are you? Well, I'm 16 and I'm 6'2". Enjoy it while you can. I used to be 5'11". I'm now 5'10". See, I'm shrinking. The joints in all my bones, I guess, have lost a little resilience somewhere down there line. If I live long enough, I might be 4 foot. God said, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. I think that was a strange thing for Moses to do. But do you realize just here, right in the early part of the Bible, here's the way God revealed himself to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob and to Moses. He revealed himself as I am. And let me give you a little bit of my thoughts on that. I won't spend too much time on it. But the thought is this, what you need. God is always what you need. You need victory. He's victory. You need comfort. He's comfort. You need wisdom. He said he gives it liberally. I am. I am what you need. I am your guide in everything. I am the power behind your life. I can use you because I am. And if I get inside of you, it will recharge you, I'll guarantee you. It might teach you a way to do things that you'd never thought of before. Amen. God's done that a long time. And bless your heart. Can you trust him? That'd give you a better day. If you could get this down in your head, I am thy exceeding great reward. Can you think of a reward better than being a friend of God? Being a child of God? I can't think of anything. Not winning the lottery, not having a lot of money, not having a great big house, not driving a brand new car. I can't think of anything that even compares to I am thy exceeding great reward. Yes, we've been rewarded. I am a rich man. You can't tell it, but I am. And I'm rich because God is my exceeding great reward. Now, look, if you will, to some other verses. There are 7 statements in the Gospel of John where God is the I am. John 6:35, we've already studied that in the chapter. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. We live by God. If we don't have God, we don't live, especially spiritual life. If God isn't your flesh and blood, if he's not there in that way, you'll never know anything. You'll never have any power at all. What God has, he said, I'm the bread of life and I feed you. Spiritually, we take in the word of God, read the Bible, quote scripture, pray, praise God, and God will move within you and bring you into spiritual life. Now that's John 6:35. Look at John 8:12. John is the only one that has these. And it's an interesting, to me, it's a beautiful part of the book of John. John 8:12. Then spake Jesus unto them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I believe I have more light than the rest of the world. I believe the people that don't have God don't have that light. And when I think about it, he's the light of the world. The promises made in this book are fantastic. They're out of sight. If you just, I had one good reading Bible that I went through with a green pen. I mark all my Bibles. You can see this is one I preached out of for a bunch of while. It's all marked all through. When I get a new Bible, I just turn them page to page. And then after 6 months or so, I've got me a new Bible with all my markings in it that I wanted to keep and whatever. Well, let me tell you something. What you get out of this Bible is light in darkness. Realize how many people are in darkness? They don't know what's coming. People that they're smart, they're intelligent, they've got degrees, they're experts in their field. And they look at all these things and they say, there's no God. It was an accident. A little speck blew up and did all this. They don't have any light. Just a little bit of light would tell you somebody made it. You see that chair sitting right there? Somebody made it. It didn't just happen. There was no accident happening in a furniture factory to make that chair. Somebody with knowledge and skill made that chair, made it comfortable, made it just the right angles. And that's this world. Bless your heart. This wonderful world. I don't think we've discovered all the insects yet. I don't think we've discovered all the viruses yet. I think we'll have another one next year. Maybe different. And there's a real problem of the ones that we got out 50 years ago coming back. Hey, we got a lot of things. I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't walk in darkness. You'll have the light of life. Look at John 10:7. John 10:7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, that's truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. I am the door. Now, there are a lot of people going to get offended by this, as other statements that Jesus makes. He's the only door. Not all doors lead to heaven. Not all roads lead to Rome. Not all religions are right. You better examine some things. Whether Jim Jones sets up in his pulpit, really, which was a great big chair up in front of everybody. I am God, he said. I'd have been running out the door. Wonder when God's going to smash that thing. Well, God did smash it. He let it go his own course. I'm the light of the world. If you have Jesus and have light about what's happening in this world and what sin is and how sin damages you and how much you need to say no to a whole lot of things in your life. Wow. I am the door of the sheep. Verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Can you understand that? That's eighth grade English, man. That's not college stuff. It's easy to read. The Bible's not hard to read. King James not hard to read either. I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. Go in and out and find pasture. Hey, he's going to have to find a place to eat. Look at John 10, chapter 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. And then in verse 14, I am the good shepherd. Know my sheep and know of mine. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Here's another one. What a tremendous statement. God refers to himself as our shepherd. What does a shepherd do? He protects the sheep. I had a cousin, he's a rancher. And when he bought a new herd of sheep, he would buy a little jackass, put it in with them. The jackass is raised up thinking he's a sheep. But you know what he does? He hates dogs. And that jackass will protect his flock. I had a cousin, did it all the time, every time he did it. That jackass, all his friends were out there, they were all sheep. And when dogs and coyotes stuff came after his lambs, he got a swift kick and maybe a good bite. He was pretty smart. How about having a good shepherd that'll lead you into fat pastures and clear water? How about a good shepherd that if you didn't come in, he'd go hunt for you? Oh, we got some sweet lessons on this thing. Look at John 11, 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I am the resurrection. Why do I believe that I'm going to be resurrected? Because I believed on Jesus and what he says right here. He is the resurrection. You are not going to be resurrected with Jesus if you don't have him as your Savior right here. That's why he sent me out 64 years ago. Tell them all that you can. And I have not had a big ministry of whatever, but I've been going steady. And I've had a few. Praise God, I've had a few. I am the resurrection and the life. Wow. Look at John 14, 6. Probably one of the more famous. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now this is going to offend some people. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Not by religion, not by priest or prophet, not by preacher. Jesus. It's the only door. He's the good shepherd. He's the way and the truth and he's the life. Bless your hearts. No man. I hate to offend people. I really do. You might think not. You might think I just enjoy it. But that isn't exactly the truth. Oh, I have fun every once in a while. My wife said my fun was always at somebody else's expense. I guess that's true. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Any other way is the wrong way. Any other truth is the wrong truth. And any other supposed life isn't life. Unless it comes through Jesus Christ. Now that's a very exclusive statement. That's a fighting statement. You don't think my religion's any good? No, I really don't. In fact, I don't think a whole lot of religion is any good at all. Religion is what people do to please God. What you need to do is take Christ as your Savior to please God. It's not in stained glass windows. It's not in a beautiful foyer. It's not in a nice parking lot. It's not in a whole lot of things. It's not in coats and ties. It's not following a set of rules. It's meeting with a person. Having a life, a spiritual life, put into you. And the only way you can get it is through Jesus Christ. He said, no man. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And then John 15, 1 and 5. 15, 1, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Without me, there it is again. It's exclusive. It is offensive. And there's no way you can make it not. We're a bunch of sinners in need of a Savior. Jesus is the only Savior, the only way, the only truth. And if you don't come by Jesus, you don't get in. You say that's not fair. I don't know about fair. I know what the Bible says. I enjoyed my little study on I Am. Hope you got a little blessing from it.